Abandonment contains in itself pure faith, hope, and love. This state of abandonment is a blending of faith, hope, and love in one single act which unites us to God and all His activities. When these three virtues are united, they of course become one and so form a single act, a single raising of the heart to God, and a simple abandonment to Him. How can we explain this divine blending, this spiritual oneness? How can we give a name which will give an idea of its nature and make the unity of this Trinity comprehensible? Well, those three virtues enable us to possess and enjoy, in one single impulse, God and His will. We see and love Him and hope to receive all things from Him. We call this attitude one of pure love, pure hope, or pure faith. Now, we usually designate this state under the name of pure faith, but it must be understood that this term includes the other theological virtues. God makes certain that nothing is more secure than this state, and our hearts are completely disinterested. In this union, there is on God's side the absolute certitude of faith, and in our hearts a similar certitude, but one tinged with fear and hope. What a desirable unity is the Trinity of these most excellent virtues. So let us believe, hope, and love because of the simple prompting of the Holy Ghost. Then the fervor inspired by the name of God will be diffused throughout our whole being by the Holy Ghost. Here is this mystical revelation, this pledge of predestination with all its happy results. God indeed is good to Israel. The Lord is good to pure hearts. This caress of the Holy Ghost on souls influenced by love is called pure love because of the torrent of delight which sweeps over them, bringing with it an abundance of faith and insight. But when souls are living in distress, it is called pure faith because all they know is the pitch-black darkness of the night. Pure love sees, feels, and believes. Pure faith believes, though it neither sees nor feels. That is the difference between these two states. Yet this difference is not fundamental, for the condition of pure faith is not without love, nor is pure love lacking in faith or abandonment. The divine touch can blend these three virtues differently and create all the varieties of spiritual conditions, and as God can arrange them in an infinite diversity, there is not a single soul which is not given the divine imprint in a way which best suits its own individuality. But this is not important. This imprint is always made up of faith, hope, and love. Self-abandonment is the normal means of securing special virtues. We cannot all hope that God will give us the same sort of virtue nor lift us to the same state, but we can all be united with God. We can all abandon ourselves to His will. We can all receive from Him what is most fitting for us, and at last, we can find the kingdom of God and share in His glory. In this kingdom, we can all seek for a crown of love or a crown of faith. It does not matter which, it is still a crown and always the kingdom of God. It is true, there is a difference. Some of us will live in the shadows and some of us in the full light of day. But what on earth does it matter as long as we belong to God and obey His will? Surely, we shall not trouble ourselves about the technical name of the state in which we find ourselves, nor what its splendors are. Of course not. we seek God alone. All else is irrelevant. We should stop preaching to souls about the state of pure faith or of pure love, about the cross or the sweetness of religion, for everyone is very different, and these matters may be unsuitable for them. Instead, let us tell everyone who loves God about self-abandonment to the divine action in general, and make them understand that by this they will achieve that particular state chosen and destined for them from all eternity. Let us not dishearten, nor rebuff, nor drive away a single soul from seeking that high perfection to which Jesus calls everyone. He demands that all of us submit to the will of his Father, and so form his mystical body, whose members cannot truthfully call him their head unless their wills are in perfect accordance with his. Let us never stop telling people that this gentle and loving Savior never asks anything from them that is difficult or any extraordinary labors. He wishes only that they desire to be united with him so that he can guide, direct, and befriend them in proportion to the closeness of that union.